Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacy, and today we are talking about 13 life-changing daily habits. This was an article I found talking about 13 habits that could change your life if you do them daily or something like that. And I am not the best with habits. I've been trying to rack my brain for a while to think of a habit I do actually do daily. And besides, like, get up and check my email and go to sleep and enter giveaways for free books because I really like books, there's nothing that I'm absolutely like 100% daily doing. Even like with brushing my teeth or washing my face, and I know some of you were just like, ew, it's not that I don't do anything, but I don't do probably the best I should. So if I had a day where I did a lot and I'm really tired and I'm just like, I cannot stand any longer than absolutely necessary, I want to be in my bed like 4 hours ago, I'll use mouthwash instead of doing a full brush, and I'll use like pre-moistened cleansing face wipes or whatever instead of properly washing my face. And then I feel really bad about that, and I try not to do that more than, you know, one day, maybe if there's a whole lot of craziness going in my life, 2 days together at the most. If I get to 3 days in a row, I'm like, my life is not going well at all right now. I really need to make some changes. But beyond those few things, and sleep, I mean, sleep is, of course, not a habit because it's just like physically required. But sleep is like the one thing I do actually do every day. But beyond that, I really can't think of anything I do daily. And I've tried in the past to do habits, sort of habits. I believe I've mentioned on this podcast before about like my one New Year's resolution this year was to walk every day. And of course, I failed at that. I did pretty well for about like the first month, because most people do actually do pretty well for like the month of January or the first week or so. And then, yeah, when February came around, it just fell off completely. And so I've been trying to get back onto that and struggling now as the weather's getting warmer. And I'm just like, oh, dang it. If it was still like February weather, I'd be okay. I'd much rather it be raining than be like super hot. But yes. So in this article, which I found on Thrive Global, the idea is essentially that if you can get one day right, you have a shot at getting your life right. So if you can get through one day sort of doing everything that you feel you're supposed to, doing everything as you'd wish it to be done, then it's possible to sort of repeat that success and do it the next day and the next day, and eventually getting most of your life right, because you I'm just going to go off the very safe assumption that there was no way to do 100% on that. But there's also the idea that at the very least, you should try to get today right, because you're not guaranteed to have tomorrow, which is always a good point and something to keep in mind whenever you can. So the first habit that they suggest is to prepare for the hours ahead, which is each morning sort of thinking, planning, preparing for how you want to act that day. Think about what you expect to face and how you plan to react to it. So if you run down in your day of, okay, I have this meeting at such and such a time, and then I have dinner with my in-laws, and then, you know, my child has a piano recital or whatever, to go through everything you know you can expect and think about how you want to act in those situations, how you want to react to those circumstances, the idea that will help you prepare to do such a thing. But also that they suggest, if you do the tough planning in the morning, nothing can happen during the day contrary to your expectation or too tough for you to handle, which I actually disagree on, because perhaps maybe nothing that you know of, nothing that you've planned for can happen beyond your ability. But if something happens during the day that you weren't planning for at all and couldn't, you know, have foreseen was going to happen, that might actually be a little over your head. But by having everything else prepared for and planned for, you've got that sort of reserve of energy to deal with unforeseen circumstances, I think. They also suggest going for a walk, hence my New Year's resolution to go for, I had made that resolution before this, but it's one of those things that like everyone suggests, so I'm sure I was suggested to it by some other article. But going for a walk every single day, not only for exercise, but for the philosophical and psychological benefits. There have been numerous studies on the benefits of walking and how people have used that as almost forms of therapy, but also to maintain weight loss, but also because you're getting out and getting outside with the sun rays and the fresh air and the benefits of that, just numerous benefits. If nothing else you do, at least getting out and walking. I try to do it sometimes before I made my New Year's resolution with after eating. And then I made my New Year's resolution and was like, yeah, if I don't do it first thing in the morning, I'm just not going to do it at all. So now it is literally get up, put in my contacts, wash my face, go for a walk. So yeah. They also suggest that you do the deep work. And I think this would probably go more with the earlier one about preparing for the hours ahead. But there's a thing that Cal Newport calls the deep work, which is the type of intense concentration and cognitive focus where real progress is made. I feel like for the deep work, not only doing it just in your life, but it probably would help to prepare to do it, because most of the time I think we're not doing deep work or going deeply into things. And so if that's not something we might be used to, to suddenly just be like, do the deep work every day. What? I need more guidance than that. But to maybe even put that in your morning preparing and sort of schedule that in your day of, okay, at such and such a time, I will just ignore all distractions and make it a distraction-free zone for an hour or whatever so that I can do the deep work and not just the busy work just to be busy. I don't know. It's hard, I think, to, we do have a sort of culture now of almost being proud of how busy we are. And I totally did that, especially when I was in college. And that was a thing that students would talk about of like, oh yeah, I got 4 hours sleep last night. Oh yeah, I only got three. Like we weren't bragging. At least me and my friends weren't bragging. We were kind of like miserable of, oh my gosh, why am I getting so few hours of sleep? But at the same time, we never really tried very hard to change that too much. We definitely wanted to sleep more, but that more ended up being, let's just continue procrastinating, even though the procrastination sort of the way we got to the whole we're not sleeping enough hours to begin with thing. Well, now I'm really tired and I want to sleep, so I'm going to procrastinate this other thing so that I can sleep. And it's like, but that's not solving the problem. You just added on to, okay, whatever. So I do think for most people, slowing down to only, I think it might be impossible to only do the quote unquote important things, but sort of looking at things in your life that feel like they're constantly scheduled, and seeing whether or not that's really something you really feel you have to do, or just sort of something that got put there and you didn't really think about it till, and you just did it almost out of habit. And that's one of the things they do say about habits, that rather than creating a new habit, it's sometimes, or rather than getting rid of a bad habit, I should say, that rather than trying to get rid of a bad habit entirely, to replace it with a better habit. So if you are one of those people who stays busy because that seems like you're actually being productive, even though you're not, to replace that with the quote unquote deep work. So we're going to take a short break right now. Stay tuned to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back. Today we are talking about 13 life-changing daily habits, or rather 13 habits that if done daily maybe could change your life, but no guarantees. So the next habit suggested is to do a kindness. And they quote Seneca that wherever there is a human being, we have an opportunity for kindness. And one of the things that really intrigued me about this article was they do actually quote several Stoics. They quote Seneca, they quote Marcus Aurelius, who I believe I've already mentioned. I quite like his Meditations. I think it might be my favorite book now. But even that first tip they gave about the prepare for your morning also was a Stoic sort of idea. Marcus Aurelius, I believe, did that also. So just this idea now of doing a kindness, to make that a habit feels, on the one hand, sort of a wow, yeah, that's actually a brilliant idea. But on the other hand, it also feels like a, well, aren't I just doing it because I'm trying to make it a habit and I don't really feel that way? But I wonder if it's not a bit like that whole smile even when you don't feel happy. And if you keep smiling, eventually you just sort of will, by virtue of doing it all the time, sort of the fake it till you make it for happiness sort of thing. So that maybe it's a fake it till you make it for kindness sort of thing. If you do it at first out of not obligation per se, but out of what, trying to make a habit, I guess, that eventually it will by itself become a habit and it will be something you don't really think about. And that will just be a part of your day, is you'll always be doing a kindness every day, and you will feel sort of almost your day will feel unended if you haven't done a kindness for someone. That, I'm not sure how easily that could be managed, but that actually does sound like a pretty decent way to live. That sounds like one of those things, those traits that people, when they die and people talk about how wonderful they were, even if they were sort of an unsung hero, that it was that sort of kindness and thinking of others that comes up quite a bit. So that would actually be a pretty nice habit to create for yourself, I think. Another habit that they list, and that I don't need to create for myself because I already do, is read. I've gotten into a bit of a funk, I won't say. I started tracking this year not only the number of books I read per year, which I've done several years now, but also the books I read per month, because for the past few years, it's felt like there's sort of this pattern where I start off reading quite a bit because it's the new year and new me and all that, and then I sort of slow down as the year goes on and the weather gets warmer and life just sort of comes back around me. Yeah, but no, not really. And so then I don't read as much, and then I get over that a bit later during the year and start to read more around like August, September, October. So this year, I've been tracking my reading, and so far I totally have followed that pattern where I read like 20 something in January, and then like 11 in February, and then like 3 last month. And I'm just like, okay, fine. So I haven't lately been reading every day, but that is something I do always try to do when I feel in the mood. And if you think about it, even if you only read for 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes is actually only about, 1% of a day? Because 24 hours times 60 minutes, that's about 14. I think it's 1440 minutes in a day. So yeah, if you divide that by 100, it's a little 14.4 minutes is 1% of your day. So 15 minutes is only a little more than 1% of your day to take to expand your mind and improve your thinking, widen your perspective, give you inspiration, let you benefit, as they say, from the accumulated wisdom and knowledge of the centuries. That's probably worth 1% of your time. Another habit they suggest is finding true quiet. And this might be a bit like almost the reverse of doing the deep work, but in the same way that finding a time to do the deep work and not just be busy, finding a time for true quiet might also be one of those things we've just gotten into the idea of, no, you can't. That it's, it's just, again, you feel you don't have time for it. You know, it's like, I've got so much to do. I can't take time just to sit and be quiet. That's not productive. At least the reading thing is, you know, supposedly productive. Finding true quiet, really? But they suggest that every single day, you should find a way to disconnect and unplug, even for a few minutes. They don't suggest a specific number of minutes, so that can be whatever for you. My goal at the moment is just 5, which is what, if 15 is a little over 1%, that's a little over a third of 1%. Yeah, we're going to stop with the math now. But just the idea that you could probably do it for a few minutes each day, and sort of allows you to center yourself and to slow down just for a moment in your hectic, busy life, and that can be really useful. On the reverse, they also suggest making time for strenuous exercise. That's a bit of a variable term, strenuous, because what's strenuous for me might not be strenuous for, like, my male cousin or whatever. Might not be even strenuous for, like, my sister. So, obviously, go based off of your own thing, what is strenuous for you, but that not super easy for you, that a bit of more pushing yourself sort of exercise. And again, it's either the FDA or the CDC or whichever recommends the 20 to 30 minutes roughly per day. And that number keeps changing. And Sarah and I talked about that where, you know, when she was younger, it was one number. When I was younger, it was a different number because we're constantly moving that around as, you know, more research comes out. But just something. Scientists actually consider exercise to be the single thing that comes closest to a magic bullet in terms of its strong and universal benefits. So if nothing else, I suppose you could probably sort of join this with the go for a walk one, depending on your fitness level for some people. And like for me, since I got out of the habit, walking has become a bit more strenuous than I feel it should be because I got out of the habit of it. And so my body's like, I don't remember how to do this. Thanks, body. You're so helpful. But go for a walk. If you're a bit more fit, you could maybe speed walk that, although slow down at the end to sort of have that slower, more meditative psychological benefits that they talk about. You could go for a run and then slow down and do a walk at the end of that. Or if you're really fit and really like exercising and, you know, doing things with your body, you could totally separate those and go do some. The point is just to get exercise every day. And to get exercise that gets your heart rate up, because now in our modern day, you know, cars everywhere, sit in the office all day sort of lifestyle, we're way less active than our ancestors were. And that's showing up in, you know, obesity levels and in rates of diabetes and heart disease and high cholesterol, all those sort of things. That, you know, even researchers have compared not only to lack of fitness, but to the quote unquote modern Western diet. And so if you've ever seen those books on traditional diets and how, you know, countries or populations that still practice traditional diets have super low levels, comparatively speaking, of inter disease here. And so it's like, what's the secret of the Mediterranean diet? What's the secret of the Okinawa diet, et cetera, et cetera. But that also part of that is exercise, especially, I believe, with the Japanese who, well, at least in Okinawa, I believe, do get more physical activity than just the average American does. And like, even where I live, I kind of hate where I live because it's kind of hard to get around without a car. And I kind of actually much prefer walking around, but the public transportation is not the greatest. So it's just like, I miss when I was in San Francisco, which A, actually had pretty decent public transportation, but B, even if it didn't, just, you know, walking up or down the hills, that was a good exercise. I kind of didn't need to add anything to that. Like, I once got into the habit for about a week, and then my schedule got all crazy and I couldn't do it anymore, of walking home. My job was in the Mission and I lived in Nopa, north of the Panhandle. So I would walk from like past 24th and Mission to past the Panhandle. And it was just like an hour something. But I was quite proud at the time to be 20 something and physically fit enough to do that. And I miss being that physically fit. So I will slowly try and work my way back to that. We're going to take another break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. Today we're talking about 13 life-changing daily habits. And the next one is kind of, on the one hand, sad, but on the other hand, probably would definitely change your life if you made a habit of it, which is to think about death. Now, don't think about death in like a morbid, oh, I wish I was dead sort of way, but just to think about the fact that that will happen at some point, and to consider what you're doing with your life in the meantime, and is that really what you want to be doing with however much time it is that you've got? Now, obviously, with the way our society's set up regarding, you know, working for your living and all that, it's very unlikely that most people could just sort of be like, you know what, I don't feel like doing my job, and I'm just not going to do it anymore. And somehow I'll be able to pay for everything I need to, even without that. Obviously, that would be a bit difficult if you aren't wealthy and or have a trust fund. But, you know, of the things you can change, or of the things that really feel unnecessary, but you're not sure why you're doing them, stop and think, you know, if at the end of my life, right before I die, looking back, am I really going to be happy with all the time I spent, you know, doing whatever obligation that I didn't really like doing, but sort of felt I needed to and possibly could have gotten out of, but just didn't? I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. I sometimes And again, this is because I'm a book person. So when I get too many books in my house, and I'm just like running out of places to put them, I'll go through them. And it's hard for me because obviously I got them originally because I thought I wanted to read them at some point. But then I'll later go through and think, okay, if I only had 6 months or 6 weeks or whatever, would I be heartbroken at the end of that 6 months or 6 weeks or however long I have to live if I didn't read this book? And if the answer is not yes, then I get rid of it. So in the same way of, if this isn't an absolute necessity for me to live my life, if I was going to die very soon, would I be heartbroken if I wasn't doing whatever thing here? Or would I feel that I had wasted my life if I didn't continue doing whatever thing here? And if the answer is not yes, then maybe consider why you're doing that. On the reverse of that, they also suggest to seize the alive time, rather. So if you think about death, but then you also seize the alive time, which is basically don't kill time. We do often think of that of, oh, we're just killing time as we, you know, wait in line at the pharmacy or whatever, or are waiting in a traffic jam or whatever. We're killing time. But don't think of that as killing time, and rather think of what you can do even in those little bit of times. So, like, you can face your fears, think about things you're scared of and how you can perhaps deal with that, do something you've been putting off, go outside, or sort of meditate in those few moments to try and use that time and not kill time, because at some point your time literally will be dead. So why kill it in advance? They also suggest saying thanks both to the good and the bad that the Stoics, and again, several things about the Stoics in this article, the Stoics saw gratitude as a kind of medicine, that saying thank you for every experience was the key to mental health. And Epictetus said that every situation has two handles. Which are you going to hold on to, the anger or the appreciation? And that's really hard because the anger is obviously the easier handle, quote unquote, to hold on to there, especially in not good situations. It's easier to feel thankful in good, happy situations, but when things kind of suck, it's like, thank you for what? What? Thank you for nothing at that point. But just by approaching a life, because, and if you ever read any sort of self-help or inspirational books, you probably know this. What truly makes great characters isn't the good times, but it's the bad times and how they get through those. But when you're in those, all you can feel is how much they suck. And it's only afterwards that you can see, ah, yes, if I hadn't had what seemed at that time the worst thing in my life to happen to me, I wouldn't have gotten to enter a great point here. So even if you can't see it at the moment, to just sort of be thankful for the growth you're probably experiencing, even if you're in a bad situation. And then, in the reverse of the first habit, instead of thinking of the day to come, at the end of the day, put the day up for review. Marcus Aurelius had a very similar habit for this as well. That each evening, sort of examine your day and your actions. Did what you had planned that morning all work out? Were you prepared enough? What could you do better? And what have you learned that will help you tomorrow? I kind of want to make this a habit for, like, my journal, but journaling is one of those habits I'm really, really terrible at. I'll go months without writing my journal. So it'll be like, hey, last time I wrote in you, it was a totally different season. But yeah. But even if you don't keep a journal, just as you're lying down in bed, I think is a good time to do it. Stop and breathe and reflect back on the day, on what went well, on what didn't go well, on what you can improve of, and what you can learn from. They also, and again, Marcus Aurelius would look at the stars and imagine himself running alongside him, seeing them for their timelessness and infiniteness. So they suggest you find a way to connect to something big, something bigger than yourself. You can find this in a poem, a view from a high place, a barefoot walk across the grass, just something that sort of reminds you that you are part of this great big thing that is so great we cannot even have a full understanding of it. And then finally, to get 8 hours of sleep. And 8 is just sort of the number that a lot of research has put out, but it can be different for different people. Some people require a bit less, some people require a bit more. Figure out whatever works best for you and get the amount that will sort of keep you at your freshest and most active during the day. So I hope that those tips have been helpful for you. Try and do some habits. You do not require to do all of them or any of them, but the idea is that if you do those habits, it would probably help you have a good day. And that if you have enough good days, you maybe have had a good life. And so on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.